Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And the title for today's word is The Lord is One, and His Name is One. And when I thought about this word, what came to mind is one God, one Son, one Holy Spirit, which are one. So it's all God. God who created everything. God who is in charge of everything. But there is only one God. God in three persons. God, one. And we are grateful to be a child of the one, to be grafted in, to be adopted in, to be a part of God's family. For we are one with him because he's one with us. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for waking me up, starting me on the right path, and starting me in my own right mind. Thank you, God, for a new day. I'm excited this morning, family. We are one day away from having completed in its entirety the Bible. Completed in its entirety from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. We will be completed as of tomorrow, God willing. Hallelujah. That's an accomplishment. That's an accomplishment to know that we have completed the Word of God in 1 year. Every word. Some may not have been pronounced correctly. You know, I have probably made some phonetic mistakes, but we have read it in a year. Excuse me, y'all. The devil's not stopping today, and he's not going to stop what we do for God. You know, so I take that cough in. Send it right back for where it came. Devil's not taking away my joy today. For the Lord is one and his name is one. I am like, wow, God, you are so amazing. He's amazing. And I am so humble to be called a child of God. So let us pray this morning and get into our word. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning. Humble, grateful, blessed, thankful that you, oh God, are in control of everything. That we are nothing, Lord God, without you. I lift up your name today, Father, believing and trusting that all things work for our good because we trust in you. Lord God, because you are one. Only one God, and it is you, creator of everything. The stars, the sun, the moon, the sky, everything. The entire universe. Lord God, I thank you today that you have loved us so much that you gave us your one and only Son. To die on Calvary's cross for our wickedness and our sinful self. Sin seen and unseen, seen known and unknown. He went to the cross for us. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy toward us. Lord God, as I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, I give you honor, glory, and praise. And ask you, Father God, please increase as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble very humble heart. Be acceptable in your holy and majestic sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in the one which is you, which is your Son, which is the Holy Spirit, the one. And I thank you, God, that this, and ask you, God, that this word permeates somebody's heart, mind, and spirit that does not know you, that today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory, and I say hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And I can only say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a child of God and to be grateful for everything. As I say all the time, be thankful for the good. Be thankful for the bad and be thankful for the ugly. And as my pastor say, praise God even in the middle of it. Whatever you're going through, praise God in the middle of it. I'm going through like everybody else goes through, but I thank God. I praise God in the middle of it because I know that it's a storm, but I'm going to get out of it. Hallelujah. That he's going to bring me through because I believe that all things are working for my good because I'm trusting and believing in my Father God. And that one day, hey, like all of us, we pray that we will have our white robes, that we will, hey, have our mansion in glory. We just thank God that we will walk the streets of New Jerusalem. One day, hallelujah, when it's our time. But don't rush, God. I just say, God, I got a lot of things I need to get done before you take me home. So could you please give me a little bit more time? You know, we need to ask God for just a little bit more time to get your house in order, to do what you need to do. But the bottom line is, know who you are, that you are a child of God and that you are loved. So let's get into our word this morning because I got to go to work. Hallelujah. So I am, again, all giddied up because this word is just that good this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And it says this, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David. And I am coming out of Zechariah chapter 13 and 14. We will be finishing Zechariah today. Wow. We've been through a lot with Zechariah because this prophet is a don't play prophet. He don't play. What he says what's going to happen, happens. And that is the end of that story. So understand, Zechariah was awesome. And so let's get back into this word one more time. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for its inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanliness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet, I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle for my youth. And no one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those for which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Go sword against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds of it, and it shall be cut off and die. For one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. The Lord is my God. Again, the Lord is one, and his name is one. The Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. And your spoil will be divided in your midst. Chapter 14 of Zechariah. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. The Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. From east to west, making a very large valley, half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azael. Yes, and you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. That in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon. South of Jerusalem, Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Enel to king's wine presses. People shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, and this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. And when I read that, I don't know how old anyone is that listens to this blog, but I remember the movie, I think, The Lost Ark. It was a Spielberg, and it was dealing with the Ark of the Covenant and how Indiana Jones was looking for it and the Nazis was looking for it. But one of the Nazi commanders or something opened the Ark, and this says, happened, and you can see it on the screen. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouth. And that's exactly the visual that Steven Spielberg gave us, was this visual. of the Nazis trying to open the Ark of the Covenant and getting dissolved. And verse 13 of chapter 14 of Zechariah says, it shall come to pass in that day that great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and on the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall this plague be. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that everyone, whichever of the families of the earth, do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In the day of holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pot in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them in that day. There shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And we'll go through life lessons after we finish the entire lesson today. Psalms 149 verses 5 through 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high priest of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Excuse me. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm just going to say it. I want my name in the book. I want my name in the book. I want your names in the book. We want to be in the book. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for the word this morning. A very short word today. And all we can say is thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity to read your word, to study your word, to get to know you better. And Lord God, we ask that this word permeates hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear it, those that read it, will understand and know there's only one God, the one, the Lord is one, and his name is one. Lord God, you are one, and your name is one, and we are grateful to be called by your name according to your purpose. And Lord God, I thank you today for your gracious love and for your son, Jesus Christ. And as we get ready to go through some life lessons, we just say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes you just need to take a minute and pray and thank God for your for his grace. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God for the hope in a future that only he can give. The Lord is one and his name is one. One God, one baptism, one church. We are all one body. It's all one. We're all one with God. Hallelujah. Thank him every day. He gave you an opportunity for a do-over. Let today be better than yesterday. And thank God for all your yesterdays. As you thank him and pray and say, Lord, your will, that I have a future. Love God today. Love his people. And know that all things are going to work for you. Because you are called according to God's purpose for your life. Don't let anybody tell you who you are, what you can do. Don't let your past dictate your future. God's in charge of everything. And when you give it over to God, God takes care of it all. Thanks be to the Lord God who causes us to triumph in his name. Because he is the Lord, he is the one Lord, and his name is one. The Lord is one, and his name one. Simple as that, but he's one. Zechariah 13:1, life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And it says this, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanliness. It says God often uses a fountain to picture himself as our source of salvation. As a fountain, he overflows with mercy and grace. As a fountain, he refreshes. And as a fountain, his love must be individually taken in. Water brings life, and living water brings eternal life. God calls himself our spring of living water. And if we go over to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, which we're going to do some Bible, going through the word today. As we go through life lessons, we're going to get to the word of God and look at some scripture today. So we're going to go over to Jeremiah chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 13. And we may go a little around it just to make sure we get it all in context. In Jeremiah chapter 13, it says, My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And if we go back up a little bit, this word is God's case against Israel. When you read it, God is just telling them, this is what you people have done. You know, this is how you have acted. You know, and you rather have a broken cistern than to have living water that you can hold on to. The Spirit is a stream of living water. You know, God has given us a mighty word this morning. And I read it one more time because it goes back up to verse 12. Let's go there. It says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. What are the two evils? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Basically, it become a sewer. Hewn themselves sewers. Broken sewer systems. Instead of taking to God the fountain of living water, they take to basically poop. That's what it boils down to. And it says, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? These are questions that God had to ask because he was getting ready to judge them. It's like, come on, God's case against Israel. That's where that comes from. They chose basically concessions than the living water, which is God. Two evils. It didn't choose me. Instead, you chose to go down into the muck and the mire, basically. Let's go over to John chapter 7. I told y'all, this word is so good, and I'm grateful that God has given us time to go and look at other scriptures so we can get it all in context, that this word in Zechariah is, it's just awesome. That's all I can say. I can't even form right words to say, but this is Jesus, the promise of the Holy Spirit again, one. In John 7, verse 39, but we're going to go all the way back up to verse 37. And it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And it says, and his living waters is ours forever. Who? Jesus is ours forever. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he tells us, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Wow. If you thirst, you just need to go to Jesus. For he will quench your thirst. For he is living water. He is living water. And we are blessed to be able to receive him into our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then we go into Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. And it says this, and his living water is ours forever. Revelation 17 and 7 and 17. And it says this, and I like to go all the way back on this because I love this scripture. And it tells us, it says in verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. But let's go back a little bit further into verse 13. And it says, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. I love that word. Revelation 13 and 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Think of it. This is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Think of it. The Lord called for the sword against his son. Jesus Christ, he planned the event of the cross. He willingly bruised his only son. And we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Whew. And y'all know Isaiah 53 is one of those words that you need to always have in your highlighted arsenal of words, because it is just that prophetic word that even to today is a word that you can read and understand. Is that important, is to have Isaiah as your one of your highlightables. And it says this, because it talks about the Son of God. In Isaiah chapter 5, all the way down to verse 12. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Whew. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Whew, he was bruised for our iniquity. That is our Savior. He bears our sins. He bears our sins. He took our sins to the cross. He was a lamb led to slaughter for us, taken from prison and from judgment, who will declare his generations, for he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. We are blessed because Jesus took the cross for us. Hallelujah. And for our sins. Acts chapter 4. verse 27 and 28. And we will go over probably a little bit more in chapter 24. In chapter 4, we'll probably hit a little bit more because it gets it all back in context. And this is a prayer for boldness. So we're going to go back to verse number 23 and read up down to 31. And it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. God will give us boldness when we trust in him, when we ask for his spirit to come within us. God will give you the desire of your heart. Let the desire of your heart be to be working, to be a worker for him, a willing worker for the Lord. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. Thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in this study Bible. Says, did you know that the Bible contains almost three times as many predictions of the second coming of Christ as it has for his first coming? He is coming again, and he wants us to be ready. And we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. But we're going to go all the way up to verse 36. And it basically says, no one knows the day or hour. And this is what it says, starting at verse 36 to verse 44. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is hour you do not expect. Hallelujah. The word of God is true. All we have to do is believe. And as we get into our Revelations word from Revelations 10, Revelations 20, verse 10, and it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And it says this, and also it goes on to tell us in Revelations 23, after these things, he must be released for a little while. So we know the devil is going to be released 1,000 years of peace with Jesus, and then the devil gonna come for a little while. So understand that there's a whole lot of stuff that goes down before that big war, before that big fight, before he is cast into the fire forever. And all those folks whose name is not in the book, we got to pray every day, live every day, so your name is in the book. So when they open your book, it will show that you have worked for God with diligence and that you've done what he asked you to do. Revelation 23, after these things, he must be released for a little while. And Dr. Stanley asked this question, and it's so true. Why must Satan be released after his long imprisonment? Why doesn't God judge him immediately? God uses Satan to reveal the unconverted hearts of those who pretend to love God. Come on now. And then Satan meets his final judgment. So there's going to be perpetrators in the 1,000-year kingdom. There's going to be perpetrators. And he goes on to say, for now, when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from a prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle those number is as the sand of the sea. To battle whose numbers is as if the sand in the sea. God sees past the surface of everybody. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. And he knows your spirit. And this is what it says. And once this, Satan is ultimately behind all adversity. He is directly responsible for leading Adam and Eve astray and for the catastrophe that followed. But his involvement in adversity extends far beyond his activity in the Garden of Eden. Several biblical accounts illustrate Satan's role in adversity. We find the clearest example in the story of Job. Those who attributed all adversity to sin of some kind or to a lack of faith have a difficult time with this narrative. They attribute Job's problems to his pride or the sin of his children. But the Bible puts those theories blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Later, God himself says of Job, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Job 1:8. Job was a righteous man whose adversity did not come as a result of sin. In fact, an ensuring discussion between God and Satan spells out why Job suffered the way he did. Satan accused Job of following God only because the Lord had blessed him and protected him. Take away that protection. Satan challenged, and Job would curse God to his face. So Satan set out to destroy all Job had, yet Job continued to serve God and walk in his ways. So Satan made another request of God, asking him permission to afflict Job's body. Clearly, Job's adversary came from Satan. His adversity came from Satan. Who dared God to send adversity into Job's life? God, in turn, permits Satan to do the dirty work. The permission came from God. The adversity came from the devil. Peter tells us that Satan roams around like a lion seeking whom he can devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Often we take Peter's word as referring to Satan's involvement in our temptations, but the real context is that of suffering. Satan roams the earth looking for ways to bring adversity into our lives. He wants us to suffer because suffering has the power to damage or even destroy one's faith in God. Peter instructs believers to be on the alert so that in the midst of their suffering, they will not lose sight of who is causing it, as well as how God is going to use it. 1 Peter 5:8-10. Also, an important thing we should always keep in mind is that Satan will not be able to torment us forever. Revelation 20:10 promises the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan will be punished greatly for the way he has caused us to suffer. And one day we will hear the wonderful proclamation, Salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who are cursed, accursed them before and God day and night. He accused us. He accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelations 12, 10, and 11. Hallelujah. We overcome. Come the devil. By the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. We thank God every day for his son. And Revelations 12, 20 and 12 say the dead were judged according to their works. Those who do not depend on Christ for their salvation will be judged according to their works. Since all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, they will all receive the wages they earn, the second death. Ooh. Revelations 20 and 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those who place their faith in Jesus Christ have their names permanently written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who depend on their own efforts to reach heaven will instead find themselves in the lake of fire. And we're going to go over real quick to Revelation chapter 21, which we will be reading tomorrow. But I just wanted to get this real quick word in there. And it's Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, which we will read again on tomorrow. And that verse says this: but there shall by no means, they shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the book of life. And we're going to go back up to verse 22 real quick. It says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Remember, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. And when we remember that the Lord is one, everything else falls into place. There's no other God but our God. There's no other Savior but our Savior. The Lord is one and his name is one. And it says, for I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination, a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'll read that again on tomorrow. But that is our word for this morning, and I am so thankful. It has been a great, great, great word today. And again, the word of God, the Lord is one and his name is one. And all we can say is thanks be the name of the Lord, our God. Hallelujah. And before we get out of here, one more thing, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And again, I ask you to please keep those families of bereaved in your prayers. As people are getting ready to go into New Year, as they did go into Christmas and Thanksgiving without people that they love, keep those that have died this year, their families, in your prayers. Because God is calling his children home. And when we look at it that way, we don't grieve. We celebrate that they are getting that first step out of the way because they're being called home to be with the Lord so they can get their white robes. And it says this from Sister Carolyn this morning. Good morning. When you know who you are, you don't have to live up to what someone has defined you to be. You are who God says you are. Have a thriving Thursday, family. Again, thank you so much for listening in today. Be blessed and know there's only one God and one name, and that is our Father God, who is Yahweh, and his Son, who is our Savior. For they are one, and the Holy Spirit, which is in each and every one of us, is one with the name of the Lord. Be blessed, family. We are all children of God, and we are his, and he is ours. And all we say is, live right, work, and do what you're called to do. So your name is in the book. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. It's time to do what? It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Thank you so much. Be blessed. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that he is with you and that the Lord is one and his name one. Be blessed. To wrap.